I remember when Sophia was about 4 years old. As far as she was concerned, everything, and I mean everything, was funny. The oatmeal in her bowl for breakfast, she would sit there and laugh and talk about it. She'd laugh at the looks I made when I was making her bed. She laughed at Barney, Big Bird, and Blue. And when we would walk to the sitters, she'd laugh at the dogs in their pen and the clouds that were in the sky. She'd laugh at all the squirrels that were playing on the lawn. I mean, in her four-year-old world, everything was funny. The funniest thing, however, was her original jokes. She would tell one, and then she'd laugh until tears were running down her face, and she'd throw her head back and say, "I'm so funny, I just quack myself up. Get it? Quack myself up." And then she'd laugh some more. The problem was we didn't get it. None of her jokes. It took a four-year-old mind to get them, because they all ended the very same way. Get it? Conehead? I mean, come on. Our inability to get it didn't stop her. She would just have another joke that always ended in the same way. You know, it was as if she knew something. It was as if she knew something really, really funny. And if she just kept telling it over and over and over again, sooner or later we'd get it too. How many of you have ever sat down and read the entire Gospel of Mark in one sitting? Oh, you don't know what you're missing. You really don't know what you're missing. You see, Mark knows something funny. And from the opening words of his gospel to the end, he keeps telling us over and over and over again in hopes that sooner or later we're going to catch on. You know, the first chapter alone should be enough to quack us all up. You have to put yourself in the place of a first century Jew. Okay? You have gone to the synagogue or the temple every Sabbath for your entire life. You know all the rituals. You perform all of the required sacrifices. You observe every one of the feasts and the holy days. If you have a son, you send him to the temple to be taught by a rabbi. And you're told two things over and over. Someday, God is going to send us the Messiah. Someone to set us free. Someone to help us reign over everyone else. And the second thing you're taught, that the only ones who are going to be saved, the only ones who are fit for that kingdom, are those who can obey all of the laws all of the time. Of course, the only ones who can obey all of the laws all of the time were the holy people that were telling you that the only ones who were going to be saved were the ones who could obey all of the laws all of the time. Isn't it wonderful how it works? And then you hear that the Messiah has actually come. But he's not in the temples or the synagogue. The first place he appears is out in the wilderness with this crazy zealot named John. And he goes there to be baptized. And he's no sooner baptized Then he's driven out into the desert, into the wilderness, where he's tempted for 40 days by all kinds of evil spirits. And he prevails over the spirits, and he immediately leaves the wilderness. And as he's walking along the sea, he immediately calls for disciples, fishermen. Mark likes the word immediate, by the way. He uses it so much that in modern translations, they changed it because it really grates on our nerves. But he immediately calls these four disciples. And they immediately leave their boats and their nets and they follow him. And they immediately leave the area of Galilee and they go to Capernaum. Why they're there, we don't know. And on the Sabbath, as was their custom, they immediately went to worship where Jesus immediately began to teach. And in the midst of his teaching, there's this loud voice that cries out, "What are you doing here, Jesus of Nazareth? We know who you are. You're out to get us." And I can just about imagine that at that time, the ushers jump up and they grab this man because you see, he's not even supposed to be there. He's unclean. And he has just made the entire area unclean. But Jesus refuses to be ruffled by his presence, and he says, "Come out." And immediately, the man falls on the floor and is convulsed. Do you get it, Coneheads? You don't, do you? None of them are supposed to be there. None of them are the good religious folk. You have John. Everybody knew he was crazy. He was a zealot out in the desert doing whatever zealots do. The fishermen, they were one step above the shepherds, and we all know what the shepherds were like. A man that was filled with an unclean spirit who wasn't even supposed to be in the sanctuary. And who does Jesus choose to focus on? Not the holy men. Not one of those people were supposed to be there. You know, in that moment, Jesus began to tear down the boundaries. He began to draw the circle wider. Because you see, he didn't hate the scribes and the Pharisees and the rabbis. He wanted them to be there too. But he wanted all these others that had been excluded to know that in the kingdom of God, they were invited regardless of who they were or what they had been. According to Chris Andrews, when Jesus comes to us, the doors of life are flung open. It's easy to feel disoriented by Jesus' strange ethics, Jesus' way of including everyone. The holy people that were in the synagogue that day, they were confused. Because here was someone speaking with authority that wasn't playing by the rules. And all those others, the ones who had felt excluded all of their lives, they were confused too. What is this? Suddenly, we're invited in? But friends, that is the message that Jesus brings to us. He's not put off by the sins we commit or the diseases we carry, the imperfections we possess. It's perfectly acceptable for us to put ourselves into his presence, to make our needs known, and to acknowledge all of those fears that keep us from experiencing life, life with Christ at its fullest. You know, this scripture is filled with outsiders and sinners, and I dare say that it's possible, if not totally probable, that each one of us belong there. not with the holy men, but in the midst of those who want to say to the Lord, if you only knew me. But that's the whole point. He does know us. He knows us. He loves us. He accepts us. So what is it that's controlling your life? Is it your past? Is it the fact that you've never felt like you measured up? Could it be your temper? Maybe there is something back there that is so horrible you'd rather no one know. But friends, the circle has been redrawn. You have been called. You have been loved. Today's gospel, it invites us into the wonderment of it all. Christians, we don't have to be captive of our past. And likewise, none of us have to fear our future. All we have to do is cry out to the one who can heal us and make us whole. Now, if you're wondering what the joke is, there isn't one. Unless, of course, it's on all of those people who are so willing to tell us that we don't belong. So who are you going to listen to? Will it be those who ridicule and belittle you? Or will it be to the one who has promised to love you forever? Do you get it, Coneheads? Do you get it? You are God's beloved. Come to Him and feel His healing spirit. To God be the glory, and all God's children say, Amen.